Father, we are so very thankful that we get the honor and the privilege of coming before your throne, completely redeemed, completely free from sin and shame. Whoa. This is truth. This is truth. That I am free. I am no longer bound by those chains that once held me. So I praise you, God, and I thank you so much. Right now, as I'm getting ready to present the word that you've given to me, I ask, God, that you would make it your words and that they would not be my words. I feel like I'm going to be kind of all over the place, so I ask that you, Holy Spirit, would give focus to my mind and focus to my words, that these points that you have given to me would be direct, that they would be clear. I ask that you would help the technology to run smoothly because I kind of need it. And Father, we just ask that your presence would be known to us in this time together and that, God, that we would walk out of this room different than when we came in. I pray these things in the powerful, perfect name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so this is going to be a tad bit of a different session, okay? As you can see, Google is up. That's not typical, okay? This is fine. We're working, okay? We're doing this together. So I wanted to give you a little insight on why I decided to talk about the things I'm going to talk about today. So, y'all, I was so scared to do this, okay? Harold and Debbie, Mom and Dad, they are like, we were sitting in their sound, not their sound room, we were sitting in their sunroom, and they're talking, and we're talking about like the little details of this weekend, and I had to open my mouth. Actually, no, it wasn't me. It was Stephen. Stephen was like, oh, why doesn't Emily do the ladies? And I was like, no. But I had decided a while before that, that if God ever presented an opportunity to speak to whatever age, that I would do it. And that was annoying that I had decided that because I couldn't tell them no. So I was like, yes. So weeks follow. I'm like, God, what are you going to talk about? You know, like, being super spiritual, going to talk to these girls about you. And then he's like, silent. And I'm like, well, kind of need to know what you want me to say. So it's really getting down to the wire, and I'm sitting there really starting to freak out. And I started to rehearse. Tell me if you can resonate with this. I started to rehearse lies over and over again in my brain. I remember one day specifically, I was sitting out on my hammock, and I had God's word open, and I was like, ready, okay? And then I start thinking, Emily, you're too stupid. You are too stupid to be able to read God's word and actually teach somebody that. You don't know how to do that. You don't know how to, you know, read a passage of scripture and say, oh, well, this word means this, and oh, let me tell you what this means in the Hebrew, and oh, I'm super smart. I started to rehearse these lies in my mind over and over and over again, and I was getting really beat down by nobody other than myself, okay? I can say it was the enemy, but I don't really need his help to tear myself down. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but that's how I am. I'm really good at being mean to me. So these lies were creeping in, and then that started to bleed into the way I treated other people around me. So I started to treat my husband a little bit more unkind. I started to be a little bit more impatient with some of my teenagers, just like not wanting my time to be available. So these things started to happen, and I was like, well, wait a second. I'm sitting here, and I'm supposed to speak to these girls about something Jesusly, and I'm sitting here being a grump? Like, how does this work? So that night, I lay in bed, and I just really, I'm just kind of dramatic. I'm like, God, please. Please speak to me. Tell me what you want me to say. And I'm falling asleep. And God's like, hey, why don't you just talk to them about what I've been teaching you? And I'm like, oh, novel. So as I'm falling asleep, I'm like, oh, sweet. So I sleep really well that night because I know now I have a plan that I can execute, right? So finally, I realize I'm going to talk to y'all about things that I have personally been learning. I can't sit here and tell you about things that I don't know about. I will be wasting your time. And I will be being unauthentic. And that's not what I want to do. I want to be completely real and transparent with you. So, let me look at my notes here. All right, so talking about authentic and real. The past, I'm really bad with timelines, so I'm just going to throw like a couple of months out there because I'm sure it happened between that. But super recent, I have been really doubting God's goodness. Okay? And this has happened to me, and not just because I woke up one day and was like, I totally doubt God's goodness. He's just not good. No, this was like a progression of circumstances, things I didn't get that I wanted, feeling like I deserve this, I deserve that, and God, you're not giving it to me? Wow, you must not be good. Well, that's a lie. Okay? If I live my life dependent on my circumstances and God's goodness being dependent on my circumstances, he's not going to be good. Right? So I'm in this mess of really doubting God's goodness. And when you doubt God's goodness, you then start to believe that he's a liar. Because does God say he's good in his word? Has God not proven in his word that he was good to many people, even when they were really, really bad? Like, look at the Israelites, for example. They were a hot mess. I totally could have been in that crew. Like, that was me. I was the one who was like wandering, scared, you know, like doubting. But over and over and over again, God's goodness led them to the promised land. Okay, that's, okay, mind is blown. So I'm sitting here doubting God's goodness. And I remember one day, I hope I remember this day for the rest of my life. I was actually at the camp called The Wilds. I don't know if anybody's been there. But I was sitting there and I was just really, really broken up about this. And I just started writing in my journal, God, I don't think you're good to me. I don't think you're fair to me. I have sat here and I have done everything right. I don't have a testimony of, you know, falling into drugs or any kind of addictions or sleeping with a ton of guys. I don't have that testimony. God, I have done everything right. Where is your goodness to me? Why have you not been faithful to me? And he led me to a Psalms that, so strangely enough, was talking about obeying his word. And I was like, this is not what I want to hear right now. So he leads me, he's like, obey my word. This is basically what he's saying over and over and over again. I think it's Psalms 119, instructions, instructions, obey them, you'll have peace, you'll have joy. And I'm like, wait, I want all these, so I'm not obeying your word. Okay, let's try this. So I decided, I wrote down in my book, my journal, I said, today I will choose to trust God. Today I will choose to trust his word. So God, I literally said this. So God, listen. If you're saying these things, I am choosing to trust you. So literally, this came out of my mouth. So please don't let me down. Please do not disappoint me. Okay, so that was a prayer of like super raw honesty. And whoa, did God begin to show himself. And not in giving me the things that I want, because I still don't have those, but in fulfilling me in ways that I didn't know I needed. So today I want to give you a few sustaining truths. And I say a few because I'm not sure how many I'm going to get through. So I don't want you to like have a list of like four and then let's not get to them, okay? So today you're going to get a few sustaining truths that have been sustaining in my life. These have sustained me, okay? So the first one, actually before that, let's talk about this whole Google thing that we're doing. Okay, so I would hate it. I would hate it if you walked out of the Student Prayer Advance not knowing how to study God's word. Who is scared to study God's word? Be honest. I will raise both of my hands. I get very scared to study God's word because I doubt my abilities. Okay, I get very scared. I don't think I'm super smart, which is lies that I still am working through. So I'm like, going to God's word is like, oh, this is so scary. How can I get something out of it? So I want to show you a tool. It's called Step, and I'm going to put Bible tool. Okay, so this is a tool that you can use. Actually, Stephen mentioned it earlier. And it's a tool. Y'all, this is simple. This is easy. Literally, we can all do it. Allie, you can do this. Where'd she go? You can do this, Allie. You can. Okay? We can all do this. This is so simple. So we're not going to be stressed out. There's a word we don't know. You can use Google to hover over it and it tells you what it means. So, number one, God really does love me. Who believes that? Not should you believe it, but who actually believes it? Y'all are great, because I really struggle with believing that God actually loves me, because I know me, and I don't often feel lovable, okay? So when I don't feel lovable, I say, well, my dad doesn't probably love me because I don't think I'm lovable. Oh, well, my mom probably doesn't love me because I don't think I'm lovable. Oh, my boyfriend doesn't, I don't have a boyfriend, but my boyfriend doesn't love me because I don't feel lovable. Okay, feelings, okay, that's what we're doing with them. We're taking them, we're scooping them up, and we're putting them over here, okay? Because feelings are, they're not dependable, okay? So to get some truth from God's word, we're going to look, and simply all you do, can everybody see this super well? Yeah? Okay. So we're going to type in what we're looking at, and we're going to look at John, 1 John, chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Boom. It's right there, okay? So, as you can see, the words, can you tell what color the words are? They're blue, okay? The words are blue. There are some in black. In this verse, there are some that are in black. So the blue words mean that you can hover over them, or if you're using your phone, you can click them. So we're going to read this scripture, and then we're going to ask ourselves some questions. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Okay, so questions already. What do some of these words even mean? Okay, does anybody know what propitiation means? That's a difficult word, right? Who today used the word propitiation? Because if you did, we need to have a conversation. Not that I'll follow your conversation, but we could have one. So what we're going to do is we're going to hover over propitiation. You might not be able to see that. That's okay. I'm going to read it to you. Propitiation, atoning sacrifice, the means to forgive. Simple. Those are words that I understand. I understand the means to forgive. So what was the means to forgive that God sent? I can't hear you. His Son. So the way that God gave us forgiveness, the way to healing, the way to freedom, the propitiation was Jesus. Oh, now I understand. Okay, so there's a word I don't understand. Manifested. I've learned that before, but I don't remember what it means right now. Let me look at it. To reveal, to make known. In this, it was made known the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Okay, so God basically this is what this verse means. God showed me his love by sending his Son to die so that way I could be free. I could be free from my sins. I could be free from my shame. That's what that verse means. So when we first read it, was anybody like, ooh, I hope she's really going to explain this because I'm not sure what this means. Yeah, okay. So there's some of us who are like that. Y'all, you can do this at home. Literally, there is a Bible app called Step, and you can do this at home. This is easy. We have no more excuses, okay? So I know that God loves me because he sent his only Son. Any moms in here? I see one, two. Okay, would you be willing to send your son for a bunch of sinners? Probably not. I don't have kids, but I can already tell you I'm not going to want to send him. He's mine. I love him. But God loved us more. He loved us that much. Not that he loved us more. He loves his son. But he loved us enough to send the son that he loves so much to die for me. He has to love me, so I have a choice. Am I going to choose to trust God's word? Or am I going to choose not to? So when that lie comes into my mind, God doesn't really love me. I'm unlovable. I can say, whoa, whoa, whoa. But God manifested his love to me. God showed me his love to me by sending his son. So you lie can leave. You're no longer welcome here. Goodbye. Okay? So some questions that we can ask when we come to a piece of scripture is, are there any words that I don't understand? Okay, well, we dealt with some of those. If there are still more, you can go do it at home. Okay? But one word that I want to look at, because we're talking about love, is love. Let's see, what do we got? Okay, so love here means agape. Interesting. Okay. I'm really good at saying that because I've been saying it for like the past couple of weeks. It takes time, okay? And it's only because I was going to come here to talk to you about it. I wanted to sound smart. All right, so agape, love, in the New Testament, usually the active love of God for his son and his people, and the active love that his people are supposed to have for God, each other, and even their enemies. Okay, so this, do you think that this is like a surface love? I can hear you. This is not a surface love. This sounds like a really, really deep, deep love. I can honestly tell you that there are moments when I don't even love my husband this way. And he is my super best friend. I really like him. I love him so much as I am capable of loving him. But I don't think I even know how to love him this way. God knows how to love me this way, though. Okay? That's pretty crazy. All right. So we see that whenever we are talking about God's love toward his son or God's love toward us, his people, it's agape. Okay, can you guys say that really loud? Agape. Agape. Okay, so agape love. Put it in your brain, okay? So we're also going to look at another verse that's found in J-O-H-N, John 21, verses 15 through 17. All right, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Okay, who has questions? I have questions, okay? I have questions about this verse, but guess what? I got an app. I got a tool that's going to help me answer these questions. So why in the world did Jesus say the same question three times in a row? Because I have siblings. And when they ask me a question three times in a row, I'm like, bro, what then? Okay? Like, back up. Okay? So, but here it says in verse, actually, let me change these settings to be on separate lines. That way we can see the verses super clear. Here, Simon Peter, he doesn't get annoyed with Jesus. He gets what? He gets grieved. I would get annoyed by a question being asked to me multiple times, but Peter was like, grief is to show sorrow, grief to be sorrowful, sad. So Peter was sad. Why was Peter sad? Well, let's look at the word that he said many times, love. Okay, so the first two times, can you guys see that? The first two times that Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me? Those are the same, that's the same word, right? Agapo. Agapa, or whatever. Darn it, I just messed it up. So these two are the same word, but how many more do we have? We've got one more. He asked another time. So there's one, there's two, but he asked again. Let us see what that one is. I just lost my spot. No, I didn't. What is that? That's a different love, right? That one is called phileo. And we see that one was used every single time that Peter responded back to Jesus. So Jesus is sitting there, Simon, do you love me to the very, very core? This agape love, do you love me with this type of love? Do you love me with the love that I love you? What did Peter say? Well, God, I like you. God, I hold you in a very high order. I have great affection for you, Jesus. What are you talking about? You know this. Is that what God was seeking after? No, he wasn't seeking for a
a surface level love. That's not what he was seeking. He was seeking the same love that he has for us. Peter couldn't give it to him. And that's why Peter found he was grieved. God, you know all things. You know that I phileo love you. And the last time that Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He actually changed it from agape to that phileo love. So Jesus, now we could take this and be like, oh, just I'm so incapable of loving God. Or we can take this and see that Jesus is so full of grace to meet Peter where he was. Oh, the grace that Jesus has to meet me right where I am. Every single one of you is in a different space. Y'all are experiencing different circumstances, different heartaches. Every single one of you are different. Even if you're in the same family, you're experiencing things differently. Jesus is going to meet you where you are. So that means I can meet him. He's totally present. He's totally available. He's available to me. This is cool. So with this, part of this sustaining truth that God does love me is also me saying on a daily basis, and I try to pray this prayer every day, Jesus, help me to love you more. Help me to love you more. Okay, so that's something that I pray on a daily basis. I'm trying to keep track of that time. So the first sustaining truth, if you got lost in all that, is God really does love me. Okay, he really does love me. The second sustaining truth that I have really held on to just recently is God's will for me is not tricky. Okay? Who feels like God's will is like some nebulous, like, oh, one day I'll get there. You know, like, oh, one day. No. God's will is not tricky. Okay? His will is super simple. And his will, oh, wait, is the same for all of us. What? Okay? Because I was always told growing up, listen, you gotta find the right college. You gotta marry the right man. If you don't, you're screwed. Okay? That's what I was told. This is not true, people. Okay? That is a lie. It's not true. And it's kind of really stressful. So God's will for me is not tricky. His purpose is for me to be Christ-like. So let's get into this. God's will for me is not tricky. Now we're gonna look at, where you at there, buddy? Old John, J-O-H-N. Chapter 13, verse 14. Oh, nope, that's for Christ-like. Sorry, God's will. We're sticking on God's will. That's right. I'm with it. God, this is a quote from Harold, okay? Pretend like that's not up there. We're not doing that one right now. God's commands and his promises are his will. That blew my mind. When Harold said that, I was like, well, that's really simple. Why am I sitting here making this so difficult? Why are we sitting here making this so difficult? His will is his promises and his commands. I can dig that. I can see that. Like, that's tangible. I have that in his word. So here we are. We're reading his promises. We're reading his commands. If you find yourself fearful of the future and fearful of future choices, pray his word. Because get this, God's will is his word. It's not hard. So is your Bible the same as my Bible? Yes. So that means God's will is the same for both of us. We might use different versions and stuff like that, but ultimately, the words are still the same. When we get down to the Greek and all those kinds of things, they're the same. So God's will for your life is the same as my life. His will is that we would obey his word. That's simple. Hard, because we're sinners, but simple. So let's look up some scripture that tie along with God's will. Because when I sit there and I have to make really tough choices, I start to freak out about the choice at hand. And oh no, what about money here and money there? But I want this guy and I want that guy. And it's like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Okay? So we're all freaking out. Well, relax. Let's open God's word to Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Okay, so does that sound like a command? Yeah. Does it also sound like a promise? Yeah. So what should I do? I should do these things. So if I'm going to delight myself in the Lord, that means I'm going to be spending time with him. That means I'm going to be reading his word every now and again, right? No, 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 no. You can't develop a relationship with anybody if you do not spend daily, 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 daily time with them. So, okay. So that one of the questions I need to ask myself when I'm trying to decide God's will, like a choice. This is not necessarily God's will, but the next choice. Okay, when I'm trying to decide this college or this college, okay, these are the questions I need to start asking. Am I delighting in God's word? And be honest. If you're not, fix it. If you are, yes. Okay. Okay. So I'm delighting in God's word. All right. I got that one. Now let's look up another one. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. Enter. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay. So am I meditating on his word? There's a question. What's the word meditate mean? To mutter. So to mutter something means that you're saying it over and over and over again. It means that you're chewing on it over and over and over again. There's like this really gross example, and I hate it, but I love it. So cows are gross. Okay. But apparently they have like a lot of stomachs. How many? That's gross. Okay, they got four stomachs. So they chew, they swallow, they spit it back up. They chew, they swallow, they spit it back up. What does Stephen say? Do you guys remember Hope, Sarah? Meditate, right? So Stephen always says, meditate on God's word, which is so cheesy, but it's a good reminder. Y'all, meditating is to do it over and over and over and over again. So before, I was sitting there meditating on these lies and fears of mine when those need to be, you know, kicked out of here. And now I can meditate on God's word, meditate on truth, meditate on what is true, okay? So something that, so I'm getting discipled by a godly woman who is older than me, okay? She is mentoring me. It's been awesome. If you don't have a mentor, I highly, highly advise that you get one, okay? I'm 27, and I've got one, so you're not too old. Although 27 is still kind of young. So I've got this mentor, and she, when I presented her, because just recently, Stephen and I had to make some tough choices that we were just like, well, more me. I was more like, what am I going to do? And he's like, just trust Jesus. And I'm like, that's so easy for you. So I'm sitting here really like wrestling with, what am I going to do, God? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And she looks at me and she said, you know, God's will is like, it's like the palm of a hand. We have five fingers. You have five choices, for example. We'll pretend like we've got five choices. Actually, I want two, okay? So more specifically, we had two choices. I could choose this one or I could choose this one. I did not know what one to choose. And I was like, oh my goodness, if I make the wrong choice, our lives are going to go just down the dump and we're just going to be ruined and everything's going to fall apart. These are the things I was rehearsing. But ask these questions. Am I meditating on God's word? I was. Genuinely, I truly was. I was spending time in God's word. Am I meditating on his word? Yeah, I am. I'm working on, you know, getting rid of these lies and thinking more on his word. I'm working on this. Okay, so this is true. And James 1:5 talks about when we ask for wisdom, God's going to give it. Have I asked God for wisdom? Yes. I've done all three of these things. So I just made the choice to trust that God was going to be true to his word. And so I said, God, this is the choice I make. I made a choice to stay. I had a choice to leave the job I was at or stay. I made the choice to stay. And I waited for, like, the walls to crash. And I waited for, like, people to, like, curse me and just for me to die. And it didn't happen. I'm still here. And I was like, this is cool. I sat there, looked at God's word, obeyed it, and it worked out. This is cool. This is easy. I can do this. I can do this over and over and over again. So I have to ask myself, how do I practically put into practice John? We're going to jump to John chapter 15, verse, what verses did I pick? 4 through 5. This verse says, these verses say, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No no more can ye, can we, except through, except ye abide in me. So who's the me? Does anybody know? Because in the verses before this, verse 1, God says that he's the husbandman and he's the vine, right? So we have to abide in the vine. The vine is not me. The vine is him. So God says that I need to abide in him because I am the vine. This is God. And you are the branches. So who's the branch? Raise your hand if you're the branch. Everybody raises their hand. We are all the branches. If you are a follower of Jesus and you have decided to put your trust in his word and in him, you are a branch. So he that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So, okay, how do I practically abide in the vine? This is another thing that I had to work out within, you know, God's will. And am I obeying his word? And how am I practically doing this? Because when this was written, when God's word was written, they were abiding in the vine differently than we are today. It's just different. They didn't have to abide in the vine when they're on internet, when they're on the internet, when they're surfing the web, when they're looking through social media. They didn't struggle with that, okay? But we do. So how in the world can I abide in the vine super practically in my life? I need to put up fences. I need to protect my eyes. I need to protect my mind, and I need to protect my body, okay? How do I do that? Well, for me, practically, what I have done is I set up, this is super practical, I have set up screen times and downtimes on my phone. Does anybody know what I'm talking about when I say that? You guys know what I'm saying? Okay, so what I have an Apple product. So that one, there's a thing you can press that it'll tell you how much time you spend on your phone, and it's super depressing, and it's just, it's terrible. I spend way too much time on my phone. And I spend way too much time scrolling through Instagram. Y'all, those reels, they kill me because they're so fast. Literally, this is the only movement. I could make a choice to, you know, run, do some exercises. No, I'm going to choose this every time, okay? So I need to set my phone up to where I am not dictated by my phone. I dictate what my phone does for me, okay? So I have chosen to set up screen times and downtimes. The downtime is super annoying because if I'm, like, in the middle of a show, this downtime pulls up and it's like, by the way, you have to now click in a password to where you can finish the rest of the show. And I'm like, that's really annoying. So accountability. I looked at Steven one night while I was being spirit-filled and was like, hey, can you put this password in my phone so that way I won't waste all my time on my phone? And he did. And so now whenever I want to finish a show or, you know, I meet that time limit, I have to talk to my accountability partner and be like, hey, you know, I want to do this. And he has to look at me and say, and he has, and it's so annoying. Is there anything better you could be doing with your time? Is there anything better you can be doing with your time? You know? And I'm like, well, yeah. So I have a choice to make. Am I going to continue to scroll on my phone? Or am I going to go do something profitable? Listen, it's not bad to scroll on your phone. Okay, it's not bad. I mean, depending on what you're looking at, because there is some raunchy stuff on Instagram, okay? All those little dances, those don't need to be getting in your brain, okay? They're cool, some of them. And they're fast and skill, okay? But not all of them are super appropriate. And these girls, they're just wearing these things that are just not super appropriate. And guys, we have to protect our eyeballs. Because what these see, it goes in here. And this controls what I think. And what I think is going to control what I do and what I believe. Because then I start believing that, oh, I'm ugly. Why can that girl get away with wearing that? But if I were to put it on, I would not be cute. So I start to beat myself up about the way I look, about the skill set that I have, about everything. I start to doubt everything about me. I don't need that in my life, okay? What I need is truth. So the way that I can protect myself from all of these lies is to set up fences. Make these fences really high. Get somebody who can put a password on your phone, and you're going to have to talk to them about, yeah, I want to spend some more time on my phone, because it's okay if you do. Like on a Saturday, if I ain't got nothing to do, I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm going to look at these reels more, okay? Or, yeah, I'm going to finish a couple more shows, whatever. These aren't wrong, But we just there has to be boundaries. There has to be fences. We have to protect ourselves. So another practical thing is when I'm with people, my phone goes away. This is really hard because I know sometimes I'm in a situation where I'm just like, I don't really know you, or you're kind of making me feel uncomfortable, or I'm an introvert, okay? I'm a big time introvert. I need my space. I need my time. I need my me. I need me, okay? So when I get around people, my initial reaction is, oh yeah, hey Shelly, yeah. Oh yeah, good? Oh yeah, I'm doing good too. Yeah, I'm really important. I got text messages and things to look at, even though really all I'm doing is scrolling at old pictures. Like, you know, sitting here, blah, blah, blah. Because this kind of relieves me from feeling pressure of talking to Shelly. But how does that make Shelly feel? Less than, unimportant, unworthy. Does anybody like feeling that way? No. So why am I going around, yeah, guys, God's good, yeah, this, that, wow, Jesus, yeah. No, you're not the boss of me. This phone is not the boss of me. Jesus is the boss of me, and he wants me to love others. He wants me to talk to other people. This is hard. I know you guys just went through like a COVID year where literally all you had was a screen in front of you. You didn't have other people in front of you. I understand that there is a mental block that we have to remove. And we can only do that with the power of Jesus. So if you walk away from this session and say, I want to do that, that looks like putting your phone down when you don't want to. That looks like having that knee-jerk reaction of like saying, nope, gets put away, okay? And the last practical thing that helps me to live a more Christ-centered, abiding in the vine life is before my phone, give me Jesus. This is really difficult. Who uses their phone as an alarm clock? Yeah, I use my phone as an alarm clock, okay? So it's really difficult to wake up. Already, I'm not happy. Like, I'm not happy that I'm awake. I'm not happy that my eyes are open. I'm not happy that this alarm clock just went off. I'm not happy. So already my guard is, like, down. Okay? And so in that moment, I have a choice to make, and that choice is either Jesus or social media. Jesus or check this text message that I got throughout the night. Jesus or call this person back. Jesus or emails. Okay, so I have a choice. Jesus is the right choice. All these other things, they can wait. Even if it's a text from a friend who's having a really hard time, you need Jesus first. Because I have gotten text messages from friends who are like, I'm having suicidal thoughts. I'm having a desire to cut myself. These are heavy things. I can't handle them. I need Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't text that friend right away, because that's important to let them know that they're heard and they're seen. You don't want to make them feel like they're in any shame. But to text them back and say, I'm going to go spend some time with Jesus, so that way when I come back to you, I've got what you need, because I need Jesus, you need Jesus, I'm going to go get some Jesus, and I'll bring him back to you. That's a quick text. That's like a, y'all probably really fast texter. That's like a, or maybe even faster, I don't know. Okay, so that's a quick text, and then you put the bad guy down, okay? You put the boy down, because he is not the, why am I saying he? Who just decided that this is a he? I don't know why I said that. Okay, I'm going to put this thing down, because you do not control me. I am controlled by God. My choices are dictated by God. So another conflict is that who uses the Bible app on their phone? I know, it's really hard. Okay, that's so hard, but there's also other things you can do to make sure that your phone is not ringing off the hook. Because I'm not going to say, well, you're so unspiritual for not using an actual, you know, Bible book in your handbook. Because us, we're moving into a different world, okay? It's not sinful to use your phone to study God's word. It can be more distracting, so those fences have to get even higher. Okay, so on my phone, I don't have any badges. Does anybody have badges on their phone right now? I just got a missed call. See? It just happened. Okay, I take that back. I have badges for missed calls and missed texts, but I don't have any other badge on my phone. Because if I see a badge, my OCD kicks in and I'm like, whoa, this must be important. this cannot wait. I must answer this Messenger app. When really, if you're texting me on Messenger, get my phone number. Because, goodness gracious. So, like, I have set up my phone to where my phone no longer yells at me when I get anything that isn't a phone call or a text. This is hard. This is not an easy thing. I started doing that. Timelines again. Like a while ago. It was during COVID. So it was during COVID that I really hate it that we base time now off of COVID. I hear people do that and it bothers me, so I apologize. But it was during COVID. So I started setting this because I was like, I'm not gonna be dictated by my phone. So I started setting up all these things to where I was not run by this device. I came to this device when I was ready to deal with what was on it. And then even then, only the important things met my eyes. So that helped me to quit this habit. Well, I haven't quit it all the way. Okay, but it's helped. Another thing, this is the last thing, I could go on. But the last thing that I've done is I've deleted, this is really hard, I have deleted Instagram and Facebook off of my phone. And if I want to look at them, I look at them on the Safari app, or if you've got a Google phone, like the platforms are different. But I only look at it on the Safari app, which makes it super inconvenient to scroll through Reels because there's like a process. So I'm not sitting there scrolling for days. It makes it super inconvenient to post stories. Y'all don't need to see everything I'm doing every second of the day. Okay, because then I'm going to be more likely to do like what Brother Sam's was saying. Look at me, I'm teaching these girls. I'm super spiritual. No, it makes it a lot more difficult because I don't like being inconvenienced. And having it on the Safari app inconveniences me, so I'm not going to do it as often. Now, I will be honest with you and say there was something I wanted to post. And so I did re-download it. But then I undownloaded it again. Because I was like, it was worth it. So those are a couple of things that are super practical ways to abide in the vine because that takes away distractions. Oh, if we were sitting down for coffee, I would just tell you all the deets, but we're not. So I'm just going to be, also there's a camera back there. one of my hugest, biggest weaknesses is distractions. I'm a feeler, but I don't like feeling the feelings when I'm not ready to feel the feelings. So I will distract myself when I don't want to feel them. And that looks like scrolling on Instagram. That looks like looking at all those TikTok videos. That looks like spending hours and hours and hours on Netflix because once you watch one episode, there's a cliffhanger and you must watch the next one. They're very good at what they do. They're not stupid. So it's like, oh man, now I'm in this vicious cycle of like filling my brain with a bunch of mess. And then I wonder, I get in bed and I'm like, God, where were you today? Why weren't you present in my life? Why didn't you help me feel better? Why was I sad today? Well, let me tell you. There was actually a meme where the guy was like, God, where have you been? And he's like, you've been scrolling on Instagram. Like I've been here, you've been there. And it's like, oh, that's super convicting. So, what time we got here? Am I supposed to be done? It's 43. I have one more point. This is so important, so we're going to stay here, okay? I mean, they can't just waltz in here. So, number three, God's word is where true truth comes from. And I want to put emphasis on the true truth. God is the true vine, which tells us that there are false things that we could fall into, false teachers that we can believe, lies in my mind that are false. So, how often do y'all rehearse situations in your mind? So, how many overthinkers do we have in the room? Yeah, okay? Me being one of them, overthink, everything. But what about this? What about this? But what if he said this? What if he said that? And I'm always like, oh, okay. So I'm all over the place. Well, 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Let's see if I can spell Corinthians. Done. 2 Corinthians 10, I'm getting nervous now. You can do it. Says, casting down imaginations, let's hover. Imaginations are thoughts, arguments, reasonings. How many arguments have I had in my brain with somebody? too many to count. I just hold you in my brain, okay? How many thoughts do I have run coursing through my brain? 1,000,000 miles a second. Is that the right way to say that? Is that fast? 1,000,000 miles a second? That's fast. It's fine. The thoughts are going really, really fast. Okay, how many times am I trying to reason with somebody in my brain? I'm like, well, let me, there's got to be another reason. God says, cast them down. Cast these imaginations down and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So the knowledge of God. Well, what's the knowledge of God? Philippians 4:8 is the knowledge of God. So, oh, blah, blah. Oh. I don't think I spelled that right. Oh, but it fixed it. See? This is a great app. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay, so if I am supposed to cast down all these imaginations and I'm supposed to cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, so against things that are true, against things that are honest, against things that are just, I'm supposed to bring these thoughts into what? Captivity. What's captivity? I don't know. I didn't look this up, actually. To take captives, take prisoner. Okay, so I'm supposed to grab those thoughts, okay, and cast them down. And what I tell some of my teens is, hey, take this thought, analyze it. Is it according to Philippians 4:8? Is this thought true? Are you really, Emily, are you really incapable of reading God's word and telling somebody else about it? No, that's not true. So you're down. Is it really true that I have to look like this in order to be beautiful? No, that's not true. You're gone. Okay, so you understand what I'm saying here? So when we look at God's word and we process it through his word, we process our thoughts through his word, y'all, we get freedom. We get freedom. We get freedom. So that's pretty much it. The whole idea, what I would want you to leave this session is, read his word, obey it. If you have a thought, take it captive, make it submissive to Christ, make it obedient to Christ. I mean, we got a lot of thoughts, we got to process them, so process them. Don't just pretend like they're not there. They're there. Let's deal with them. You got sadness? Deal with it. Did somebody hurt you physically, emotionally? Deal with it. Process it. Bring it to God's word. Is this thing true? God, it's, you know, actually, this is true. They did hurt me. God, how am I supposed to process this? He will tell you. And then also get an accountability. Get some accountability. Get somebody in your life who you can look at and say, I don't know what to do here. Be real. Be honest. I have said some really deep and heavy things to my mentor. Really deep and heavy things, and she's taken them so well, and she's brought it according to God's word. So, that is all. I'm going to leave that there, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We are thankful that your word is truth. We're thankful that we can trust it, and I pray that each girl will make the choice today, because it is a daily choice, that they are going to choose to trust your word. And we pray these things, knowing that they're according to your will, so you will answer. In Jesus' name, amen.